Welcome, everybody. Capes and Scowls, mini-sode number 24. I'm Tim.
I'm Rashid.
Rashid is here. It's me and Rashid. We're going to do... we're working on some stuff for the podcast, so we're going to... While we're waiting for things to get done, we're just going to do another one. Keep cranking them out. We're going to do some comic reviews. How are you, sir?
Good? I'm tired, but I'm feeling pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm also tired.
We're doing this for you guys, man. I haven't been able to come out lately because it's been like... How's your Black Friday? That's what I want to ask.
My Black Friday? We had a sale at the store, mm-hmm. the comic book store.
Where's that?
30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey. It was crazy. I barely looked up at people. I was just like, and then on to the next person, I'm like, oh, I hear Rashid.
Yeah.
I hear him in line. I'll look up when he gets here.
I picked up some good stuff,
Oh, man, phone ringing. This is kind of a relaxed podcast. I'm not even going to answer it. It's going to keep ringing. I forgot about that.
It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter. No rules on this podcast.
Yeah, I was... my Black Friday was, like, terrible. I was in this pretty much the same predicament. I was standing in line for, like, 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I got some squats in, though. So I finally learned how to do a proper squat.
A proper one?
A proper squat. Working on those buns of steel. Working on that summer bod. And then this is my first day off. This is like 4 days later, so I'm kind of feeling it. But it's nice to be around friends, review comics, get some podcast stuff done. So you wanna jump right into this?
Yeah, man. Why don't you kick it off here?
All right. So first book I'm gonna review is Superman: American Alien.
Okay.
And I actually like the plot of this book. As anybody that knows me knows, I'm really not a big Superman fan,
mm-hmm.
and it's for the reason that, you know, most people aren't Superman fans, and most people shit on people that aren't Superman fans. I just don't, nothing in that character, like, really signifies with me. I just think he's, like, I don't know. I'm sure I'm gonna get some hate for that, but whatever. Max Landis is the writer, Nick Dragotta is the illustrator. Now, the thing I like about this story is, it's Superman, as a boy, just learning how to harness and control his powers. And this is, I feel like this is a number one, but this is going to be episodic, very much in the way of, like, Grayson or, like, Moon Knight would be. And this one just starts with Clark just shooting right out of the top of the farm. Like, he's just flying, has no idea why he's flying. And, I mean, there's really not too much here besides, Clark doesn't know how to control his powers in it. But the thing that I like that it shows on his perspective is it shows fear. And it shows, you know, it puts him at much more of a human level. Because not only is he like, you know, oh, nobody's like me and this is hard to understand. But they nail the time period for that kind of feeling in a person's life. Which is like, you know, that late, like... What do you call that? Preteen years and into the early teens.
Your awkward phase.
Yeah, the awkward phase. And it just shows him, like, he has a crush on this girl. And they go see this movie. And it's an alien movie. And it's like, oh, like, they're treating him so different. Like, would you, you know, how would you treat an alien if you ever met an alien? And that's where you kind of sympathize with him a little bit. Sympathize with Clark a little bit. And, I mean... It's a Superman origin story, so is everything you've already seen before. It's like, this kid's not normal. There's something wrong with this kid. I mean, there's really not much besides that. I definitely think it's a good read. The solicit that I saw for it was like, he seemed a little bit older than this. And he had like a bloody nose and it looked like a mugshot. So I really just want to see where this story is going. But I think they hooked me. They hooked me into a Superman story.
Nice. Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, I'm going to go with an old book first that I don't have in front of me, which I finally got around to reading. Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra. It's a one-shot for Secret Wars. And I, as I've said, I'm pretty much not down with most of the Secret Wars stuff I tried.
Mm-hmm.
This one-shot is the funniest, greatest thing ever.
It's such a good book. And I'm kind of sad that it's a one-shot.
Yeah. Basically, Hank Johnson is just a low-level Hydra agent, and it's, Nick Fury will drop a screw on the ground, and he'll, like, oh, hey, a screw, what's up with that? He'll get knocked out by Nick Fury, and whoever's next to him gets shot and killed. So, okay, that's Sunday. Monday, let's go to that guy's funeral. Oh, MODOK's there. He's being weird. He coaches a Little League team against a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yeah.
Really funny stuff. And it's like, you know, his wife is nagging him, like, oh, God, why don't you just join AIM? He's like, I don't want to join AIM. I'm Hydra. Hydra, you know, cut off a head and all that jazz. And, you know, it was very funny. It was this basic, you know, normal life scenario for a grunt Hydra agent. It was very funny.
I just really liked the, what was the one scene that I thought was, like, really funny?
Madam Hydra?
Madam Hydra.
Madam Hydra, yeah. Makes the book because she's pretty much sexually harassing everybody. They're like, oh, God, she doesn't have panties on again.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I thought that angle on her was great. And
it
then
was so funny.
There was the, like you said, he coaches the Little League against the one guy. And he's like, hey, look, I have this like, spelling bee or something to go to for my son. Like, do you want to go with me? I just need a friend. He's like, sure, yeah, I'll go. So, they're marching, and it looks like one of those just Hydra rallies. Like, do you remember that? We're like, hell, Hydra. He's like, hey, I got tickets to the Nets game. Do you want to go? He's like, oh, like, I really want to, but I actually have previous plans. Me and such are going to go to my son's, like, spelling bee. And he's like, oh, cool, like, have fun. So, last minute, right before his son's spelling bee, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent actually calls out. He's like, look, something actually came up, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't think I'll be able to make it. So he's like, oh, you know what? If he's not going, it should make it easy for my wife to understand that I don't want to go. I'm going to go to that Nets game. And he goes to tell, he's like, yeah, I still want to go to that Nets game. He's like, oh, no, I'm sorry, but John already took him. He's like, oh, John. And then they just start fighting in the Hydra line. I thought that was a great book.
It was really good. It was really funny. I didn't expect it at all. Madam Hydra made the book, though.
Yeah,
definitely.
Madam Hydra and the relationship, because you saw the discomfort between Hank and his wife. Like, remember when they were leaving the ball? He's like, you got to do something about that.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a really funny book. Probably the only Secret Wars book I, like, truly, truly liked.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Weird World.
Right.
Planet Hulk was garbage. What else did I try? I tried a lot of them, and it just... Nothing.
I mean, I'm in that very small club of, like, I enjoyed MODOK Assassin. I didn't finish that. I should probably finish that. I didn't read the fourth issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's
MODOK.
Yeah.
How bad can MODOK be?
It's not, but it's pretty funny, though. Did you read the concept for that one? Or like, yeah, he falls in love with a Thor, and it's like MODOK showing emotion. It was different.
That's cool.
I'm trying to think if there's any other Secret Wars books worth mentioning. Nope.
Sorry, Marvel.
Yep, sorry, Marvel. But all new, all different Marvel is off to a good start, so...
It seems to be, although it doesn't make a ton of sense to me, because Secret Wars hasn't ended.
It doesn't.
But so I'm not, like, fully invested yet.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm liking more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was going to be like, alright, if there's a Moon Knight book, I'll get it. If there's a Howard the Duck, I'll get it. But beyond that,
That's a book. Did you read that? We could talk about that.
I didn't read it yet. Okay. You can still talk about it, but I didn't read it yet.
I won't talk about it since we don't have next podcast.
All
Look
right.
out for Howard the Duck.
It's coming.
So, we have a little bit of a fan base here with Saints. This is one of my favorite books.
We've sold so many Saints since we did the other review.
Yeah, that's good. Because it should be read. Sean Lewis is the writer. Great writer. And Benjamin Mackey on the art. Same as last time. I picked this book up kind of as a Halloween thing, and it really intrigued me. I like the concept of it, so I wanted to, you know, I added it to my bin, as well as you should. So we start off, and it's just like Blaze, Sebastian, they're in, I forget the girl's name, I'm drawing a blank, but I'll come back, and they're trying to get the blessing of her parents for joining them, like, hey, look, we need to, like, go on this, we're chosen by God, like, we need to go on this mission to just rid the world of evil. And the parents are actually, like, really proud because, like, they're very, very, like, those kind of, like, devout religious people. And there was actually this part that made me chuckle. Like, they asked us, like, all right, we need to do this. We need your daughter, but we also need to borrow your car because we kind of blew up our car. So there's, like, a bumper sticker. I forget what the bumper sticker says, but... It's pretty great. It's like Man for Christ or something like that. And what happens is while they're at her house, they find this painting, this biblical painting. Once again, I'm not like really Christian, so I don't know what this painting is. It might be something symbolic, but Blaze gets this vision and he's like, we need to take this with us. So they take it and he's like, we need to go to Arizona. They head on their way to Arizona. And then all of a sudden, they're taking a nap, and this painting starts coming to life, and this all this biblical scripture just comes out of the book, and they're like, what the hell is going on right now? So they get out of the car, and the girl's still in the car, and her eyes start to light up, and they're like, all right, like, something is really happening. Meanwhile, it's the painting telling them, like, look, this is where you need to go, and this is the next person in your quest. I think it's like Saint Stephen, I want to say, or Gabriel that they're mm-hmm. looking for. Mm-hmm. And they go to this this little rinky-dink side of the road diner in Arizona. And you see this guy, and he's just walking up, kind of like timid looking. And he feels that something's wrong. And he kind of walks in, gets a slice of pie, he's kind of minding his business. And they feel that like arcane, like, this is the one. Mm-hmm. So they try and track him down without scaring him too much. And he runs out of the diner. And he's like, you want to hurt me, but I'm hard to hurt. And all this gravel and, like, all this, like, I don't know, man. Like, this one just kind of progresses the story as to the team. But Saints number 3 is on sale December 9th. I really like this book. I would give this one an 8 out of 10. I think it's progressing the story in the right direction. Nice. I don't know how long they plan to do this series, but I see some big things happening in the next 2 issues. This is a really good one.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, my next book is an indie book. I think I was the only one who ordered it.
Yeah, this looks cool, so I want to hear about this.
21 Pulp is the company. This book is called Hero Hourly. I believe this is originally a Kickstarter book. By Patrick Trigo and Salazzo. So basically, the premise of this book, guy graduates college, he's all happy, he's like, oh, I got my degree, I'm gonna go be somebody, he flips off his roommates, he tells everybody to go to hell, and he realizes it's a little hard to get a job. So he's kind of stuck with his roommates, and it's very, like, it has some crude humor, but it's, like, really well done to where okay. It's not too offensive. Like, there's masturbation jokes. They're funny.
They're the best.
They are the best. So it has a little bit of college humor to it, which is actually good. I mean, he's a college graduate. So he says, all right, well, I got to get a 9-to-5 job. I'm not finding what I need. And he ends up becoming a superhero as his job. So just like you work at, like, a Walmart or a Target or something, you can be a superhero. You wear the same uniform, you clock in 9-to-5, you take a formula, which gives you moderate speed, strength, and flight.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you can fly.
You can fly.
But is it, like, you can only fly while you're on the clock? Like, does it wear off?
You have to take it before your shift starts, and it only lasts, I think, 24 hours. And, like, there's, like, rules. It's like, don't, you know, go bang your girlfriend on your lunch break. You know, you could hurt her. Like, things right. like that. And it's got really good humor. And it is that kind of a job where it's like, oh, this is so, I hate my job. And
right.
it's like, but, well, whatever. And, like, he's, like, getting the crap kicked out of him. He's like, oh, man, I'm so happy. It's, like, 20 minutes left. And he's, like, fighting a villain. And, like, his teeth are flying out. And he's like, he doesn't care.
Is this, like, is this a one-off or is this, like, a series?
I think it's 3 issues.
Okay.
Only issue 1 is out currently. I believe January the trade will come out as well, I want to say. I can find that out and tell you on another podcast. But this was really, really funny. The idea of, hey, my 9-to-5 is I'm a superhero. They all wear the yellow and green costume. And there's things like, oh, the guy who's his superior gets laid off because he makes too much money. Or, hey, the guy that's been doing this for 10 years gets laid off, even though he's really, really good at it.
Now, this, to me, like, the first comparison I want to draw, and you can talk to this, too. The first thing I think about is the hero ranking from One Punch Man. Now, is this the kind of thing where, like, is there tiers to it, or is it just everybody, nobody's better than anybody else at it?
You are more experienced, but
right.
it's very much like, oh, you'll never make upper management, no matter how much time you put in here.
Okay.
Like, the one guy who trains him is, like, a jock who used to play football, and he's just, like, loves the idea of doing a job, and he's stuck in this job, but he's fine with it. And,
right, it's like a dead end for him.
Right.
Okay.
So this speaks to your everyday life for, I'm going to say, the vast majority of people. But it is a really interesting concept of, like, I'm going to clock in, all right, I'm this hero, and you know, and, like, him counting down to the end of his shift when he's getting the crap kicked out of him is amazing.
So what, like, if he's like, you know, hey, all right, look, I know you're beating the shit out of me, but can you start beating on this guy? Because my shift's over and I gotta go home.
I'm pretty sure he can just walk away.
What?
Just leave the dude.
That's crazy.
You know, if the guy doesn't murder him, he can just go. It's a very silly book, but a very well-written book. The art's pretty fun. It's kind of cartoony, but I liked it. I think it worked really well.
I gotta check that one out.
It's pretty cool.
Something I want to look for.
Hero Hourly.
You ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, I know we were just praising all new, all different Marvel. There's some things we like.
Sure.
But there's also a few things that we don't like that much.
I hated this book.
Yeah, I was trying to, you know, no, let it down it. Low.
You know, but I hate this book. I had such high hopes, and I was like, oh, I like that character. And
yeah, so we're going to review issue number one of Nova by Sean Ryan. Sorry, Sean Ryan. And
we still love you, Sean Ryan.
We still love you. The one thing, you know, what is that? Like a compliment sandwich? Or let's start with a good thing. I like the art.
Art's very good.
The art's really good.
Super good art.
And I like the way that the book opens, because you think, like, oh man, it's going to get right to it. It's going to get right to this action. You start off with these, like, really monstrous-looking aliens. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, this is exactly what I wanted.
Yep.
Except for one thing. It's a movie.
Yep.
So, you see, what's the younger Roger name? Do you remember? I don't even remember his name.
I don't know. The kid Nova.
Yeah, the small, little Nova.
I like Richard Rider Nova. I'm old yeah. school, so.
So, little Nova, he's like, oh, I gotta go. It was fun watching that movie with you guys, but I gotta, you know, go do some chores with my parents. And he goes, he flies, and he puts out a fire with Richard Rider Nova, mm-hmm. Which is like, I mean, kind of pointless. I think, like, it looks like when they get to the scene at the fire, it's a pretty big fire, but it looks like the firefighters could have handled it. And, like,
yeah.
It doesn't really... Sam Nova, or Sam, yeah, Sam Ryder, that's his name. So he goes in, and they're like, oh, Dad, there's two people in this building, let's go save them. And this is where the initial conflict starts. So they rush into the burning building, and they save... These two people, and I think there's a cat in the building also. But Richard Rider's Nova helmet actually starts to short and malfunction.
Right.
And Sam has to save him. And from the Marvel Now Nova, like, you know, it's cool to see that Sam has his father back. And you think that they could do a lot with this. And so far in the first issue, I don't really think, like, you know, I didn't want to see the two pair up to save a kitten from a burning building.
Right.
It's a little too cliche.
They're more OP than fighting a fire.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're cosmic.
Exactly.
I didn't want them on Earth fighting fires.
Yeah, and that's not what bothered me about this book. So I was like, at that point, I'm like, okay, this is just a little bit weird. So, you know, he gets home, and his mom is like, oh, you guys were out all night. Typical mom thing, but... The one thing that just really irked me about this book is, like, this very, very cheesy, cliche, Sam's friend asked him, he's like, oh, man, I didn't study for this test, like, I'm gonna fail, like, Sam, did you study? He's like, of course, Blake, education is a gift that I get unwrapped every day, you should look into it. And then he just kind of goes on this spiel about, like, staying in school, and it just feels like one of those, like, after-school special seminars, man. Like, and... This moment just totally took me out of the book, and I'm just like, what kind of Kool-Aid are they trying to feed us with this? Like,
know. And
is that, like, I don't know who's reading this. I'm 24 and I'm reading this, but, like, are they going for that little kid market with this book? Or, like, I don't know who this book's aimed at, because you have Richard Rider, you have Sam Rider, and it kind of seems like they're just trying to do too much with it.
I mean, it's not... a bad idea for them to aim it towards kids, since he's got cartoon. He's in that Spider-Man cartoon all the time.
Okay.
But at the same time, let us know, the older readers, because I was so disappointed with this.
Because they have, don't they have a different line?
A different
for
line for younger kids.
And then, you know, compliment sandwich, like I said, like, those two I had a problem with. The art, still phenomenal. I say if you want to pick up this book, pick it up for the art at least, because the art is great. Towards the end, you see Richard Rider, he's kind of in his garage, working on his Nova helmet, and Sam's like, oh, Dad, it's good to see you, I'm gonna go get some rest for school, and then you kind of hear this, like, voice, and it's like, what was that? And he's like, it's the boy, he knows nothing. And I like that part, but I'm kind of conflicted if I want to pick up the second issue or not, because I just really wasn't feeling this book. I like the plot twist at the end that it ended on, but
I mean, just it was really fine, wasn't feeling but it. Like, I just didn't care.
Yeah.
I had a really hard time finishing this book.
Yeah.
I'm just like, God, I just don't care.
Yeah, that's how I felt once I saw the school scene, but I was like, it's the number one. I like Nova. I owe it to finish it. And it kind of reeled me back in at the end, but I mean, on a 1 to 10 scale, I'm giving this like a 4.5.
Yeah, I would give it like a 3.
Yeah, art's good though. That's all art.
The art's what saves it. I didn't like the writing. I'm sorry, I just didn't. It wasn't for me. Didn't dig it.
Am I gonna
do it, man? Take us home. Take us home.
All right,
last one.
Last one. I've been waiting for this book for what feels like ages. It's really been like 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. Archie number 4. Mark Waid, Annie Wu on the art, which is surprising because like I had to go in like 3 or 4 pages deep to see that Fiona Staple wasn't still in the art.
Right, I didn't realize that initially.
Yeah, and then it's not really a bad change. I still like the art. Fiona Staple, I love her Saga work, so
yeah.
Still really good art though. So a lot of things happen in this book that I never really thought were going to happen. First of all, you have Mark Waid using the word bae. For those that don't know, bae is a term of endearment for before anyone else. Most people think it's short for babe. But in this issue, we finally get to find out what the lipstick incident is about.
Oh man, the infamous lipstick incident.
And it's actually, I applaud Mark Waid for this because it seems like just because of the name of it, it's going to be something like goofy or something that you're used to in Archie. And it really hits home for that teenage audience. I mean, I feel like everybody can relate to this because the comic starts out, Archie and Jughead are just practicing, and he's like, Archie, you're a little bit off, like, you need something to eat? And he offers him a gooey bar, and he, you know, Archie just walks away, and Jughead's like, what did I say this time? Like, I didn't really, you know, Jughead normally says something offensive, he just offered him a candy bar, so he's worried about his friend. So Archie walks away, and he's like, you know, I didn't really mean to blow up on Jughead. It's not his fault, but he reminded me of something. He reminded me of the lipstick incident. And it goes back. It does the flashback of how good him and Betty's relationship's been for years and how long they've known each other. And it's shown all the good moments. And it showed one day they were at the park. They were kind of just playing around. And they go to the bathroom and Archie comes out a little bit before Betty, which, as most guys that have ever gone anywhere with a woman, that's normally the scenario. I'm normally out there waiting for, like, 5 minutes. And he sees two girls snickering and, like, kind of laughing. He's like, you know, he approaches them. He's like, are you making fun of Betty? Like, you know, because I wouldn't like that. And I don't really think that's proper of you to be making fun of her. So the two girls are like, you know, They're like the, what were they, like the Ashleys from Recess or something of that nature. They're all about the popularity. And they're like, oh, well, Archie's one of the coolest kids in the school. We can't have him mad at us. So they decide to give Betty a makeover. And it's like, well, Archie liked you, but like now we're going to make you like, make him like you even more. So they go and they give her a makeover. The one issue that I have with this is that, didn't they do that in like issue number 1 or number 2? They kind of like dolled up Betty for a date.
Yeah.
It's like the same scenario, except for this was a date with Archie. So, you know, her and Archie have a date to go see a horror movie, something that they would both enjoy. And Archie, she's like, you know, come pick me up. He's like, you live right next door. Is this really necessary? So he goes next door, he rings the doorbell, and she comes down. She's got the red short dress on. She's got the lipstick. She's got her hair all curled. And Archie just freezes because he thinks she's beautiful, but this is also, like, not Betty. This is not the person that he's in love with. So he kind of, like, doesn't want to make too big of a deal about it. He's like, oh, okay, like, you ready for the movie? So they go to the movie, and something's just a little bit off. And Betty and Archie, they're not really having fun. They're not really giggling like they used to. And Betty just runs out of the movie theater, and Archie runs after her and is like, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you changing? And she's like, I see you look at girls like this all the time. This must be what you really want. And he's like, no, those girls like it's you that I want. But now you're so different. This lipstick, this makeup, it's not you. And Betty just takes her lipstick out and just smears it all over Archie's face. And she's like, well, look at that. You're still you. And that's the lipstick incident. They haven't spoken since. And I just think that this is a really powerful, like, poignant book because it just touches a real issue of, you know, a lot of people have been in a relationship where the person's changed. Or I like that this is a very topical book. And I mean, I give it up to Mark Waid because for me, Archie was just always something that was like, that's the comic book character that's in the A&W commercials or something like that. I never really cared, but what they're doing with this book is phenomenal, I think. And I think that I could see this. Actually, I think they're plotting this as a CW show.
Yeah, Riverdale.
They're going to do a Riverdale show, and I hope they base it off of this because this is a phenomenal run so far. Four issues in, and I'm just loving it. Like, this book is it's like a 9 for me. Like, it touches on a lot of things. The art's still good. Annie Wu doesn't skip a beat. Mark Waid can write literally anything, and I'll probably read it.
Awesome.
So you got anything else you want to talk about?
Nope, I don't. I'm going to call it there because got to keep the mini-sode mini.
Minis.
So thank you for listening. And you can find us at capesandscalespodcast.com. You can email us, capesandscalespodcast@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, rate, review, all that happy stuff. And thank you for listening.